Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about your soul journey. Yes, as we have several past few years, and we say, what is it truly all about? It's about sharing your stories, what you've come through, where you're going, what do you see in retrospect, and how is your life playing out in the moment? Today, we're going to be talking about Blu-rays, empaths, and highly sensitive people. What are they? What is it all about? Can you see how you may have played a part in this progress throughout your entire life? Today, my guest is Becky, the holistic healer. Her book is The Calling of My Soul, True Confessions of a Blu-ray Empath, Highly Sensitive Person. Becky, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you very much for having me. It's very much a pleasure for me as well.
Oh, you're so welcome. You know, Becky, don't you think that in retrospect we can say, oh, I see this, I see that, the light is on, it's turned off. Those were holes. Those were good things. Yet when we look back on the decades, if we would jump ourselves all the way back to the 50s, 60s, and 70s, we would say, wow, I don't know what's going on. This is the way life is supposed to be. And we kind of just mechanically went through it, don't you think?
I absolutely think so, yes.
Do you think that perhaps maybe it is the evolution of the soul's consciousness that's really come up now in the year 2020 that got us to this point versus we would never have this conversation then, do you think?
I absolutely agree. I know that even since 1975 when I was born, I had witnessed so much transformation on this planet, and even before I knew I was witnessing it, somewhere within my being, I was feeling that transformation happening. And yeah, absolutely, even 2 years ago, we wouldn't be having this conversation, I don't think.
Right. Yeah, I think, as I said, I think it was probably about maybe 2013 or 14. I had used the words on the show. I said, we're going to have a brand new language. We're going to have all new books. We're going to be able to say, do I really need to even, quote, know something? Or will it just show up? And I think we're almost coming on the precipice of that now where we are using different words. We're realizing that all the past and all the dogma really doesn't matter. And we're really coming into that phase where maybe we'll pop into the next level, don't you think?
I completely think so. I feel it so much in my own life And in watching the people around me, too, it is a completely different language that we're starting to speak. You're absolutely correct.
You know, even someone said to me one day, they said, you know, when you have to come back down to Earth and live in this reality or this real existence, how are you going to function? And I'm going, wow, I'm not in your world. Thank you for so much
right?
for showing me. And it was like, it's like I could never, ever function in that existence again. And they're going, what do you mean? A job or that you do every day or this or that or the other. And it's just, I think it's just something about the frequency or the attenuation or the whatever it is about that moment that I just knew I'm not in the same space. Isn't that funny when that happens?
Oh, absolutely. It happens almost daily to me now. I think that I'm like you, I'm in and out of so many dimensions every day, all the time. And there's times where it is a little challenging to, like, say you want to go to Walmart or somewhere where people aren't maybe, you know, dimensionally a vibrational match to you.
Right.
So you go in and amongst the people, and I call them, you know, the sheeple. I call them sheeple in my book, and I don't mean that with disrespect at all.
Right.
But when I'm amongst that vibration, you really, it takes you back, and you really notice how far you've come. You really do.
And your physical body, and you're hanging on to the basket, you're going, get me out of here, and you just walk out of the door.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, I will go through Walmart, and it's gotten where I can't go anymore. I mean, I just literally can't go. But I would walk up to the door, and it would be like, okay, I can do this. Give me a basket. And I'll hold on to it. And by the time I get to the back, I'm going, I can't breathe. I'm going to throw up. Get me out of here. Then I get to the front of the register, and I'm going, I'm going to pass out. And my husband's going, oh, my God, do we need to call 911? What is the problem? And I'm going, just give me the keys and get out of my way. And I go out. And I think sometimes people don't even realize that what you and I are explaining and sharing here is the recognition of a different space or a frequency that you're in. Don't you think that's how it shows up? And sometimes people say, oh, you're just drama. Oh, you got this, you got that. And that's old way of thinking. We're sharing new ways. Yes?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, that's a really good example because back before I knew better, when I didn't realize who I was or that I had these beautiful gifts or even anything, I would go into Walmart and literally immediately have panic attacks. And back then, I had no recognition of why. I just knew that I felt very sick when I went in there. And that's exactly what people did to me. Oh, you're so dramatic. You're always sick or you're always...
Right.
But really what we're doing is we're transmuting energy. And, you know, until you recognize and know, you don't know.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. I went to Trader Joe's one day, and it was already crowded, and it was like, I just don't know if I can do this. But I went up to the lettuce section, and there were two women standing in front of it, and they were having a heated conversation. And I'm just quietly standing there waiting till they finish to get out of their way, you know? And they didn't. So finally I just said, excuse me, and I walked between them. All of a sudden it went wham, and I had the worst headache, and I just about passed out. Got my lettuce, went to my husband and says, you know what, I got to go. He says, what do you mean? I said, I'm going. I left my hands off the basket and left because I had entered their field and hadn't even realized it or paid attention because I was set on what I needed. And I had entered their field and it was just this energy was still there and you can highly pick it up. Don't you think sometimes people don't even know or recognize what an energy field is when they've entered it and when they're able to sense it?
Yes, exactly. Most people walking around on the planet absolutely do not recognize or realize that yet. And that's why it's really important that people like you and I that are aware of this, you know, keep spreading our messages and we keep teaching and we keep, you know, sharing this because it's going to be the way of the future. We all know this, those of us that are awake. But you know what I teach my clients and my students and even my own children? What I've learned is, when you're going to go out in public, if you can picture a hula hoop, like envision a hula hoop around your waist and pull all of your energy in, it does help. It definitely does. So you're not, you know, mingling with everybody. It does lessen that impact a little bit. But it's really just having the knowledge and the tools, you know, to, like you said, it's a little difficult to live in the 3D world when you're, you know, up in 5D consciousness, you know, and you're resonating way, way, way higher than a lot of people around you. It becomes a little bit difficult, but we need to teach people so that everybody can awaken and know what it's like to live multidimensionally.
It's about the little cues that are out there and to be able to say, how can you look at them differently? Let's use for an example, you walk into a room and it seems like everybody's chatty Cathy and you're going, oh, well, you know, no one's really talking to me. And then I would say that like, oh, well, I guess we kind of need to get in there and talk to them or whatever. Finally, I've gotten to the point where, oh, this conversation, they're all still in that space. And whatever I say or do or sense, It's not necessary right now. So I don't put myself in those positions anymore. And I think in the past, we used to try to force ourselves into those positions, saying we needed human engagement, when in essence, we don't need that kind of human engagement, right?
No, and I absolutely do not place myself in those situations anymore. Outside of going to Walmart and places where you have to go, I just choose not to. And I will choose not to force my way, because what I've learned is that it used to break my heart. Every day my heart was breaking over and over because these people couldn't hear me or understand me, or, or you know, they would see me in a negative way, or, you know, it just broke my heart. And I'm sure you experienced that too. And then you finally learn that those people are not a vibrational match to you, and it's okay. You can still be at peace with them, but you just don't need to connect. You're absolutely correct. I'm the same way.
You know, I think
it's not a bad thing.
No, it's not. And, you know, I mean, I have heard that my entire life. You don't belong here. You're not supposed to be here.
Yeah.
Don't talk.
Yes,
don't this. I can't stand your voice. I don't know. Get away. And I pretty much, I mean, like I said, I'm in my 60s. I can honestly tell you more than I can count on, you know, sit here and count off. It'll keep counting. It still keeps tick, tick, ticking all the time. People say that. And I think that sometimes we say, how do you and I exist in this world when most of the majority of the people are in the other space? You know, I found, and I'm sure you have found it, is that many times people would say, well, you need to start lowering your, I even had someone say this so many times, you need to lower yourself down. You don't need to be so high and mighty. Take off those high heels. Come down to the ground. And I'm going, oh, my God, I'm not giving up my wings for Birkenstocks. Not going to happen, you know? Right?
Agreed. Absolutely not. And that's the thing, too, is the less and less and less I find that I place myself around those types of people, the less I experience that. But it used to be really bad for me, too, and I'd hear the same things as you. Like, you know, you think you're high and mighty, or you think you're better than everybody, or why do you think you have all the knowledge? It's like, no, I'm not trying. And they don't receive us well, but we really just want them to come where we are because it's beautiful. And life is wonderful over here, you know, but they don't, they're not ready. And I, you know, I think about when I was where they are at, I wouldn't have received it well either. You know, it is a consciousness thing. Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's also, too, where sometimes they say when you're with someone and you feel something, it's your reflection bouncing back. And sometimes I would say if you are an open person in awareness, it is merely that you are noticing what's bouncing back to them. Versus a lot of times when people are on this soul path and you're really, you know, getting to pretty much like better than half of it, you start saying, oh, my gosh, is it still something that I didn't do? Is it still something that I don't know? And in essence, it isn't. It's just that you're picking up everyone else's cues and they are not yours.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I do not agree with that.
That,
you know,
mirror image
that's a reflection of me and that stuff that I don't have. And you know what that does is it leaves us being narcissistic to ourselves and beating ourselves up over something that's not ours. So you need to, you know, go deeper with it.
Yeah.
Maybe it is, but I find so much now, especially in the last year, I don't, that's not true. What you're saying it is more true for me too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. No,
you know what I found
not.
Is when I have some of these engagements sometimes and something, they'll say something or whatever, and I'll say, oh, man, cool. And it kind of like offsets them, like cool is my new word, you know? I mean, I probably say it almost, you know, I put it in emails, I put it in texts, I put it in everything because it offsets them. They're like, what? And it's the first word all the time, cool. And then I'll share
great.
The message.
That's a really good, like, neutral word, you know?
Yeah.
It's
well,
not...
Kind of, it, like, turns them. It's sort of like they're expecting that banter or whatever, but I'm not interested in the banter. So the cool is like, ciao, you know, like, see ya, whatever.
Yeah. And sometimes they don't know how to handle it when you don't want to banter, when you don't, correct, when you're not wanting, you know, I don't want that. I don't want to even be part of that. I won't. And
yeah,
they don't know how to act. Like, what do you mean you don't want to fight with me? What do you mean you don't want to argue and debate?
That's,
you
right,
know? And that's where so many people, especially in the United States, especially in our, you know, in our country, you know, we're so busy dividing and separating and finding things wrong with each other and looking at what's wrong and how to hate each other and you know, him and them and us mentality.
Right.
You know, and people like you and I, we just want everybody to come together in unity and understand that we're all one. We're just humans, you know. That's mm-hmm. all that matters.
Well, in essence, really what they're doing, too, is staking their ground for their identity because they believe
mm-hmm.
their identity is created that way.
Yeah.
However,
agreed,
if you truly look at it, you know, Becky, right now where we are, you and I, we are also, too, looking for identity because we're still putting labels on self. And
sure.
I don't know if you've come up against it, but I have about 10 years ago. It was like, I just gave up all the labels. It was like, change my name. I don't know who I am. Blah, blah, blah. I went through that for like several years. And still they would say, who are you? And I finally came to the conclusion. I says, what is a piece of me you want to engage with? You know?
That's a
what do you
great
want to
way
know?
To answer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because the point is I think we look and we say, we're going to someone to talk to them, but you don't know who I am in the first place. And heck, sometimes we don't know who we are on a daily basis either. But
right,
right.
And we don't.
Right. And the idea is what kind of energy would you like to share today? Isn't that a
yeah.
different conversation?
Yeah. What kind of light codes are we going to share?
Right. Right.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I went through that about 2 years ago too, where you know I kind of really was receiving guidance about you know, getting rid of a lot of the labels. And I did. I really did. And I try really hard not to. But at the same time, you know, that human part of us, I mean, we are
right.
here and we are human. And so, you know, if we weren't meant to be human, we'd be out in the universe flying around doing magical things.
That's
so,
what I still do.
I know. I still do, too. But, you know, I also feel like, you know, I have to create balance between because if it were up to me, I would never be in this body. I would be, you know, outside of my body. And I go outside of my body a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you do, too. And
right.
when you have to come back in, it's like, oh, I have to rein it in. You don't want to. I don't want to be labels or have names. I just want to be energy and love
right.
and just be out there spreading that and inspiring everybody. And, you know, but there's that part of me that's like, no, you are human. You have to learn how to like being a human because I don't like to be human. I don't want to be. I'm sure you don't either. I don't. I would just want to be, you know, angelic, you know.
Yeah. And mine is like I just truly just shine. I don't
yeah. –
it's not about anyone or anything else or doing this or doing that. It has zero action. And it's
yeah.
really interesting because there was something that, you know, when you think about the human vehicle, I always say that the human body is just a vehicle for an experience. And it's
yeah.
sort of like I get in my car to go somewhere else. I go to school to learn something there. I interact with someone because they're going to feed me food. It's all a vehicle
yeah.
to keep our soul in an existence. And if
yeah.
we can take it as basically as that, and everybody says, well, what's the point to it? And I'll say, well, I don't know. You know, or people say to me, what does it do for me? What's it going to fix? Where am I going to go? And I'm like, I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know. I have I don't knows all the time. And they're like, well, what good are you? And I'll go, and I just let it go. Because I think the idea is that to be stuck into the human as we've defined human in the past and how we are now looking at human as merely a vehicle, we can understand
yeah.
a vehicle doesn't have the answers.
No, no, absolutely not. It's our soul that has the answers. You're absolutely right. Our vehicle doesn't. And any of our vehicles, I mean, I completely agree with you. I view my physical body, I view as a sacred vessel that is keeping me alive, and I honor my body, and I, you know, that's not who we are either. It's a reflection of who we are, but yeah, it's absolutely not who you are. It's our vehicle for our humanoid experience, where, you know, it's energy transactions, and that's really what our physical body is. You know, it's deep stuff, but it's true. You know,
I think we get so stuck up in the ideas about, you know, the body needs to look perfect, as you believe you're of your perfection. Your body needs to look young, as you constantly know how to regenerate. Your body needs to shine, as to believe you're only in the white light. And all three of those things are a lot of spiritual connotations right now, where people are getting super stuck into. And you see it a lot, you know, you see it a lot playing out with, you know, I need to go get some of these peptides for my bodies. I need to have some kind of cell modulated therapy to fix my, what's wrong with it. It's almost like, are you still looking for the pieces to fix your robotic physical being? Understand, it is a robotic physical vehicle.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a machine. I mean, it is. You know, I haven't heard of that. Like, in my area, I haven't heard of people doing that yet. It must not have made its way here yet. I haven't seen anybody in the clinic that, you know, done that. But that, to me, just, it makes my solar plexus want to shut, you know? Like, no, you're not being true to yourself. You're not loving yourself for who you are. And, you know, we get into these spiritual, in the spiritual communities, we get into these fads, and people just are looking for, like you said, they're just looking for the next greatest thing to fix everything. And what we're missing is that you have everything within you to fix everything. When you wake up in the morning, everything you need is right there. You don't need to go and spend all this money to have somebody else train you how to fix your body. You already know. You just need to remember. It's a remembering.
Let's talk also, too, about the idea of fixing. Is everything supposed to be in perfection and always working?
Right.
In other words, if that was true, then the day you drove your car off the lot, it never, ever aged, and it was always the same, and 50 years later, it's still working. And we think, how ridiculous that is that? Or we look at our kitchen table, and we say, we brought it home, and 10 years later, it's got all these marks and all this stuff on it, and now we have to kick it to the curb because it isn't perfect. But it still functions, but it still doesn't reflect how we believe. I think sometimes we get caught up in the human words and the human dogma to be able to define ourselves, don't you think?
I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. I think we place way too much on trying to be perfect in every aspect of life, and we're not meant to be. We're absolutely not. We're meant to do the best we can do and to learn and grow and evolve and stay focused on our evolution. You know?
Let's talk for a second, Becky, about Dark Night of the Soul. A lot of people talk about it. And there's a lot of times people now say, well, I have to keep my face to the light. I see darkness. I'm not going there. I'm not going to engage with it, blah, blah, blah. And it's sort of like, okay, so that's, you're saying that you're still walling yourself off to an existence, and in essence, you're creating your own separation. And in essence, when Dark Night of the Soul also is doing a separation, but it's also just defining an experience point along the paradigm, don't you believe?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I absolutely agree. I can honestly be very, very brutally honest and say that 5 years ago, when Dark Night of the Soul was trying to present, I did that. I absolutely did that. I can admit it. I absolutely did that. And I remember being in that space, and I remember thinking, you know, I can't connect with that. Even though I feel this extreme darkness around me, and I feel, you know, terrible and horrible and whatever, you know, emotions were playing out, I would build walls because I wanted, you know, I just want to be in the light. I don't want to face that. But what I found was, when I didn't face the Dark Night of the Soul as it presented itself, it would create even more Dark Night of the Soul which would then create more dexterity of the soul. And eventually, you can't find the light anywhere. You really can't. I mean, you're engulfed. And not for a bad reason. If your soul is trying to help you evolve and learn and grow, and when you connect with it and you're willing to connect with all the parts of yourself and face, like literally be very brutally honest and face yourself, face your darkness, face what's presenting, then guess what? You love yourself enough that that darkness turns back to light.
Right. But also,
it's a
too,
beautiful
I think,
process.
I think people think that you go from here and you get to there and you stay there. You know,
no.
I myself, I absolutely love the darkness. It is the best place ever. I love to sit down in a puddle, you know, be stuck by the mud, being able to have it rain all the time and sometimes float along. It's the greatest place to be. I love to be able to fly in the same space and to be able to say,
yeah,
this is where I'm staying here. But I think if we are fluid enough, eventually we will get to this. And the more of the point where I'm talking now is when we're absolutely in the fluidity of all the energies, we can go from dark to light in, click your finger. We can go from up to down in a second. We can go and we could stay there. We could do whatever it shows up. Once we're doing that, we're able to start dancing within the cycles of the collective, the energy of the cosmos, and all of us of existence. That is the bigger picture that we're actually expanding our knowledge of, yes?
Yes, exactly. And not only that, but when you are doing that and when you're in the fluidity, when you are, you know, balancing your darks and lights and just going with whatever is presenting, you're healing that and doing that for the collective too, not just for you. You know, it's a much bigger picture, like you said. You're absolutely doing that for humanity, you know. It's absolutely awesome for people like us that understand that. I feel very blessed to understand it like I do now versus how I used to understand it, you know.
Because we really don't want to be pulling people and saying, well, you shouldn't be there. You need to get up here. Come on, follow me.
Right.
It's like I am not in the process of collecting ducks. I do not want followers. I don't want people to, quote, tell me how and I'm going to do it. It's sort of, I will open you up and you will be able to tell me where you are and how you are doing it. It's not about, I think, you know, now in the year 2020, it's not about gurus or therapists or let's drag us all along. And then we get to the end and we say, oh, this isn't it. Well, of course it isn't it, because you're still following their story. It's more.
Right.
How can you create your own, right?
Yes, and that's exactly what I do with my patients in the clinic. When they come in to me and, you know, they have their first consultation or whatever, if they're having a shaman healing or whatever it is they're having, and I do a consult and they'll say, well, you know, this is going on or whatever, and the very first thing that I say to them, and I think every good healer, light worker does, the very first thing I'll say to them is, I absolutely am honored to help you with your journey, but this is your journey and you have to do the work. I do not fix this for you. I will give you tools and then you fix it. And I hold them accountable for that.
Right.
I don't want, I'm the same way. I don't want followers and I don't want, you know, and people will say stuff to me and probably to you too, because I have my own radio show too. People will say, well, you know, if you do this or that, then you can get all these, you know, followers and you can have all these people and, you know, don't you want more and don't you? And no, everything is in divine perfect timing.
Yeah.
People, like you said, going forward into 2020, no, it's not about the guru. It's about my light poking something in yours that inspires you to want to open up to your own journey and your own light and find your own path. And it's so important that those of us that know this are helping others to understand that too.
Yeah. You know, so many times, you know, when people, I'll speak to them, you know, like for a session and they'll start, they'll say, well, what can you tell me? And so I'm like, well, just tell me a story. What's up? And you listen. And then what's the next words out of my mouth? Cool. I'm so glad you're there. And they're like, cool, because I have cancer. I'll say, fantastic. You've been exploring that for the past 10 years, and you finally got a name. Aren't you glad? Now what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
or else the other idea is, you know, we're like, oh, man, everything's been off. And I'll say, great, now it's somewhere else to start. What do you want to do? And don't you think sometimes the idea of celebrate whatever showed up before, because, you know, whatever it was, fantastic. Because you can't change it. You can't do anything else with it. And to commiserate and continuously be in that slump just because is not going to benefit you. But if you could say, holy smokes, fantastic. Yeah, I wrecked my car last week. Great. I need a new one anyway. You know? Or, you know, it's sort of like make light to move. Light is what moves. So if you can make light, you can move, right?
Right. Absolutely agree. And you have to have the dark to find the light. The darks are showing you where you can bring more light. And we absolutely need to have those experiences and recognize, you know, hey, oh, you have cancer? Okay, great. What is your body telling you?
Right.
Why do you have cancer? You know, what emotions are trapped there? Oh, you have breast cancer? Oh, well, how come you don't love yourself? You know?
Right. Or maybe it's just your exit door. You know what I mean?
Yes, very much could be.
Right, because then a lot of times people say, well, you know, I only have a few months, and I'll say, okay, so is it your exit door? The answer would be yes or no. And okay, what would you like to do now? I think sometimes we get stuck in the concepts of what this existence, how we've come in it, how we've worked through it, and how we're going to end up with it. If we don't follow a certain path, we're kind of like, oh, well, that isn't, quote, right. When in essence, whatever we are doing is right for us. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely agree. What one person, you know, does is absolutely not correct for somebody else. And I think that's really key for all of us to understand that, you know, every single one of us, the answer is a little different. And that's okay. It's good. Right. As long as you know your answer and you're not getting your information from other humans telling you what your answer is, that's really important. You know, in a transformation journey, too.
Becky, can you share with us a little bit about the definition of a Blu-ray? Many times people will say, I kind of get the empath. Oh, I know what that maybe is. And just a little side note on empath. People say, oh, well, you feel everything, so that's a good thing. I'm an empath. It's great. I feel everything. Here's the answer. You can feel it all you want, but you aren't supposed to store it. And I think that's where the biggest issue that is not being said is that it's fabulous to be an empath. Oh, I feel it. Phew. It's gone. You know? In other words, let it pass through just as quickly as it showed up, because if it stores and imprints you, you are now a collector or a collage of the collective, and that's not the point of an empath, right?
Right, exactly. And that's exactly what I used to be before I realized it, was a collage of everything. And by the time I was in my early 20s, I mean, my spine was already degenerating, like at the rate of like a 60-year-old spine. And, you know, looking back at it now, I know that's why, because I was transmuting everybody's stuff my whole life, not knowing I was doing it on a human level and holding on to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important to learn that, you know, empath, exactly. You need to learn how to process things and not hold on to other people's things, and how to, you know, block out things that other people's energy that you don't want to, you know, connect with, and learn how to control your own energy and your own light. But being a Blu-ray is absolutely what so many people ask me when they see my book. That's the first thing they say. What's a Blu-ray?
Right.
So for me, in my experience, I have been seeing and speaking with and working with angels since I was a very little girl. And so as a very little girl, I would see all these different colored light rays. And sometimes they'd be orbs and sometimes, you know, rays of light. And as I was growing up, I would continue to see, like when I would see myself and when I would see my own energy, because I was always seeing people's auras, I would always see my energy as blue or like a bluish purple.
Uh-huh.
Well, when I was growing up, I just thought, oh, I really like purple and I really like blue, so that must be my favorite color, you know?
Right.
I didn't know or understand. And then about 4 years ago, I was in a spiritual group, I think on Facebook, and I knew that I was being sent a sign because a man that, you know, I'd never ever connected with before sent me a message out of the blue, and he said, I'm going to send this to you. You know, don't get creeped out. I know you don't know me, but I'm being told to send this to you. And, you know, normally you're pretty skeptical when somebody sends you that you don't know sends you something on Facebook. But for some reason I was not. I felt like it, okay, you know. So I clicked on it, and it was a YouTube video about Blu-ray empaths. And when I watched that video and it showed, like, you know, what is a Blu-ray and how to recognize if you are one type of stuff, I literally sat and cried. Like, my whole body was shaking, and I could feel resonance with it. So basically, every single one of us are souls, you know, our energy and light, and we all resonate with a certain ray of light. So, you know, you have the colors of the rainbow, which there's many, many, many thousands other colors that we can't perceive with our human eyes. I'm sure you know that.
Right.
But the seven main colors are what we perceive. And, you know, colors are just light that we're perceiving with our eyes. So my soul and the frequency resonates with the blue ray of light. So that's why I kept seeing that blue light around myself, you know, when I was a little girl. And so then once I started identifying, and it's just label. I mean, do we really need to label it? Probably not. But I felt such a strong resonance with it that it really opened my energy up more when I learned this about myself, and it really helped me understand myself more. And that's the thing that I want people to understand. Use these things to understand yourself more. Don't use it to label and define and separate. Don't do that.
Right.
Use it to really just understand yourself a little bit deeper. But then once I understood that, then I knew exactly, you know, how I ticked and why I ticked the way. It's just like, you know, indigos and crystals and all those different types of star seeds. Blu-ray is a star seed, and definitely I have a very strong connection with the planet Sirius. I have since I was a little girl and didn't know why. So I know that there's some sort of connection there. But the other piece of it is just really, like, 2-3 weeks ago, I had an aura photograph taken, and you can absolutely see, you know, my crown chakra is white and just really bright lit up, and then all the other energy around me is blue. It was absolutely beautiful.
I think also, too, Becky, in closing, is that the idea of being able to say these labels are something that will help connect you when you're on in this advanced journey. And that's what they're important for, yes?
That's what they're meant for. It's not meant for us to separate and divide. We're not, we shouldn't use them for humans. You know, use it to understand your journey. Use it to evolve.
Right. And, Becky, can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about your work? That would be wonderful.
Yes, absolutely. So I own a business called Holistic Healing, and I have a website. It's www.holistichealing.net, and it's spelled W-H-O-L-E, holistic. And then also I'm on Facebook. That's facebook.com/BeckyJoTheHealer, all one word. I post a lot of information on there as well, and I do have a blog on my website. And on my website, too, you can, you know, get information about my book and all my work and all the different things that I do and all my social media, pretty much a centralized location.
Very good. Well, Becky, I think it also, too, in the year 2020 is that we say, how can we progress a little bit more rapidly in our spiritual journey and be able to say there's a lot that I can leave behind, and maybe in this new year we'll see how things will really escalate, yes?
Yes, absolutely. I feel and know that the next year between 2020 and 2022 is going to be big, fast changes like we've never seen on the planet, and it's going to be beautiful.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it was such a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so very much. It was a pleasure to talk with you, too.
And you as well. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.